Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us today. Kind of snowy out there. Everyone, please be careful and have a great, safe weekend. But we needed the moisture, as we always say. And I know in Highlands Ranch, we had about 10 inches this morning when I left the house. So I'm sure certain areas got other amounts of measurements of snow there. But again, hope everyone is careful out there. Well, I tell you, I want to thank John Rush, first of all, last week for filling in first half of the show for me. As John mentioned on the show, and certainly not going to draw this out, but I had a death in my family on the 18th of April. My sister passed away, and then I was in Washington, D.C. for her funeral. And then I was in Montana actually doing a hunt. I had to fly to Washington, D.C. So it's like last week has been kind of a blur, but I want to thank Dan Muir for filling in for me on Haystack Help Radio that we do during the week from noon to 1, too. But just thank really my Crawford family here for all their support and different things as we were going through this time, you know. And so I tell you, it's something, you know, just to real quick, and I'm just going to say this. This is absolutely free. This is my Dr. Phil moment for you this morning. But you know what? I was talking to a lot of people at my sister's funeral and talked about, they said, you know what? I haven't talked to my brother or my sister in a long, long time. And I'm like, you know, do that. I don't care who's wrong, who was right, what you were fighting about or arguing about. I promise you, when the day comes that you can no longer make something right or talk to them, you will wish you had. Don't have a regret. Last words to my sister were, I love you, and the last words to me were, she loved me. So you can't beat that. So make a call today if you need to, and just tell your loved ones that you love them and appreciate them. Again, I don't care what's really going on. Just make something right today, and I promise you, it'll make your day, and I will assure you it will make theirs. So, again, you're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. We're going to be talking Little Turkey today. Glad to have in studio a couple of guests. Donnell Johnson is with us, and Lisa Thompson, her sidekick. I don't know if I've ever seen you guys separate. Okay, I've never seen her not with you, Donnell. So we're going to be getting Lisa on the phone here shortly, but how are you?
I'm doing great. We just got off a great hunt with Wayne Carlton, and truly it was a bucket list for both of us. We didn't even know it was a bucket list, but truly one of the coolest things I've ever got to do.
Wow.
Just getting to see him call in the birds like he did was majestic.
Yeah. Where were you guys hunting?
In a secret honey hole.
No, I mean state.
Colorado.
Is the state good? Okay.
I did sign an allegiance that I would never go back.
No. Okay. All right. You tell me you gotta kill me.
No,
right.
We were definitely in the mountains, and we used a snowcat to get in. Wow. So we were going over 6-7 foot drifts. Coming out, it was warm, so we were falling through some of those drifts with the snowcat he had. It was pretty cool. I'd never done anything like it. When I shot my bird, it was pelting me in the face with snow. I've never done anything like that. And I've done Kansas, Oklahoma, the plains of Colorado, the Platte, but that was brand new for me. Right. It was so fun.
Yeah, we got a lot of weather too. We were in Red Lodge, Montana, and then Plains, Montana. I actually got my bird in Plains, Montana. A lot of different weather there with snow, rain, all the different things. And we're going to get into all that. How does weather affect all this with turkeys? Because it does. And we're going to talk about calling, all that kind of stuff. If you've got questions, comments, want to tell us how you messed up something so we won't do it, or you want to tell us a success story, we will take your calls, 303-477-5600. And then a couple of guys in studio, really, just met not too long ago, one of our sponsors, The Outdoorsman Attic, JP. JP, how are you, bud?
Very well. Thank you very much.
Good, good. And Mike's your buddy.
Mike's right. My brother.
Brother, right. Okay.
And buddy,
yeah.
Yes.
So now, was he hunting with you this last week in Texas?
No, I have a roofing outfit, and my supplier was kind enough to take us down there with a couple other contractors. Unlike you folks, I was hunting in shorts.
Oh, wow.
I had so many layers on, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was a little chilly out there. Then you did a helicopter hog hunt, too, right?
Yeah, yep.
All right. So
we did a combo hunt. So.
We're going to talk about that, too, as we get into this. And our power just went off, but are we still on, Charlie? Good deal. All right. All right. So, Donnell, let's talk just a little bit, and then we'll get Lisa on here. She's going to call us in our second segment. But let's talk just a little bit about you know, the whole aspect of just of calling and what you guys, you know, we can't get into everything you learned. It'd be a 4-hour show probably.
Right.
But what were some of the things that really you go, wow, this is a game changer now that I know this?
You know, the number one thing that I learned was about tracking back. So we would follow a road, just kind of an old logging road, and calling, listening for the gobble. As soon as we would hear a gobble, we would cut the distance, like half the distance towards the gobble, and then get set up and bring him in. Now, we're backcountry far enough. There wasn't a lot of pressure, so they were really vocal. I mean, you will find, you like the bird I shot in 92, because I had 2 tags this year, so I've already shot 2. But I was up in 92 just doing a diaphragm calls, and that bird came in. I was sitting in really high grass, so all I saw was his head, red head, just part in the grass running straight at me. And I was like, oh, my word. I wasn't even sure what to do. I thought he was going to run me down. But so completely different, because that bird didn't say a peep. So going up there, the gobbles were just free. And now Wayne's a great caller, too. I mean, so he used the box call a lot, and he would yelp, get those really loud yelps, you know, get it out there really, really loud to throw. And he loved to get in on an edge of like a canyon and throw that call down into a canyon. Again, just such different terrain from anything I've ever done. It was so fun. But then once we would get that, but the number one thing that I truly did learn was once we got to the end, we couldn't get one of the birds to come in. So we tracked back. And we picked up a bird that probably heard us the first time. And he said, a lot of people make the mistake of just busting through an area and keep on going. Well, sometimes it takes, he might be with another hen at the moment, and takes him a little while to get to where you just were. And I've had that happen elk calling so many times, where something will stop me up, or maybe we see another hunter. We stop and talk about that time a bull comes running in. We're like, ugh. You know, we're pretty guilty of calling and moving too much. And so patience, 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 which we've preached, but I'm very bad at. I'm so ADD.
No, patience is tough, because you're just sitting there and, like, you know, we would get there, like, in the mornings, probably hour, 45 minutes before daylight. And the guy we were hunting with knows the area real good. So, man, you know, he might hit just a little bit of a touch of a call. And, boy, they were still in the roost, you know. So we would sit there for, like, an hour, you know, it seemed like, and wait for them. And then he could tell when they got on the ground.
Right.
And and then, you know, in the whole setup.
Yeah.
It is so important when you're calling to make sure that you're set up in the way. Because I'm telling you, you move. I got one guy that, you know, I've hunted with before that just can't sit still.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're not set up, you're going to be in trouble, and they're going to bust you.
Well, and that's, you know, on Lisa's hunt, it went perfect. The very first day she went first, I videoed, because I'd already got a bird in 92. So, and even with that, he'd been doing the box call, and he switched to that glass slate call for that last, and that he just presented himself the minute he heard just the little slide of that glass call. Jumped out there, and she got a great shot. But mine, we actually had a couple of blunders where it didn't go, and there's 3 of us trying to be super duper still.
Right.
That's just... It's so hard. Like, one time Lisa was literally just raising her hand to turn the GoPro on, you know, and it's just that little slight movement. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult for 3 people without a blind.
Yeah.
And Lisa and I do a lot of, and I've been a part of 6 birds so far this year, but we do a lot with step up, step out. So we got 2 girls that were brand new to hunting, just got their hunter safety, and both got great toms. Mm-hmm. Up on the Platte by Kersey. But same thing. But with them, we put us in a tent, because women, we got a lot going on. We just do.
Right.
We had 6 women in 1 tent at one time.
Oh,
so.
My Lord. The turkeys are probably going, shut up. Give us some peace out here, ladies. Yeah. And, no, we had a great, great hunt. And a gentleman was out. I was with my pastor and stuff. Boy, he got 2 really, really nice birds. And, you know, it makes a lot of difference with the calling and the different types. And it's amazing sometimes how they won't respond to, you know,
right.
You know, a mouth call versus the box. Versus,
well, and one of the things he did, too, once they would start to get in closer, he would just do a softer yelps and not this, that really harsh.
Hard, yeah.
You know, because, you know, the closer they get, I think you just have to be a little more careful.
Yeah.
But
so now, what did he suggest doing when birds hang up a little bit out there? Because I was wearing some Sitka gear.
Mm-hmm.
And not the traditional one of Sitka, but they have a new pattern out, and I was wearing that, and it might have been a little bit bright because they hung up about there about 60 yards, and they just saw something they didn't like. So the guy goes, hey, if you can take him, take him. And I'm like, don't ever tell me that. If I can take him, take him, man. So boom, got him, you know. 57 yards with this one. But and by the way, I'll put
what ammo were you using again?
Winchester Long Beard XR. It's got to have that XR on there, 3-inch number 5. And I'm telling you, bam. It was awesome.
Good. So and you know what? Ammo, and early on in 92, I missed a bird with my 20-gauge, and it's a whole long story. I teach this class at Cabela's about how to pattern your choke and all this stuff, and I got off. I'm always taking care of everybody else, and I got off without my turkey ammo. So we're on our way out there, so I stop at Fort Morgan, and I cannot find a good 20-inch. So I went with the best I thought I could get at the time, which was not what you had,
right.
And I ended up missing a bird. And so, yeah, ammo is huge, and pattering it when the choke you're using, it's
huge. You got to know your weapon.
It's huge.
We were talking yesterday, Jake. Yep. He was talking about it. He had guys show up at a hunt. Hadn't even shot the gun before.
Borrowed gun. I'm putting a scope on today and shooting tomorrow.
Yeah, if people tell me they don't have time to do it, I say, you don't have time to hunt with me then. That's how that rolls. But I was burned myself. Just
now, you guys, now we can't use any kind of rifle till fall.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Correct.
But you were in Texas. Texas, hey, you can use a cannon in Texas. They don't care.
Shoot,
but
that ain't nothing back in Texas.
204.
204 Ruger, yeah.
And you shot, how far was your longest shot?
Well, I'll tell you, when I got into the blind, their tower blinds are about 15 feet, tower box, windows all the way around. And showed up and dropped off at the blind, and then I could hear them gobbling out there. It didn't even sun up yet, and I could about 300 yards out. But I could see them and going around in the trees with my binoculars. Sun comes up, they come down, they're milling around. There's probably 30 of them. And then I see deer. And then I see the turkeys come together like this as a coyote runs behind them. And
it's a Serengeti.
Yeah.
You were at the zoo, dude. You took a wrong exit. Yeah.
I don't think I had a stitch of camo on me at the time. But they were working their way around, picking bugs, and I decide I'm going to make my shot. Lined up on this one about 100 yards out, and I chambered it slowly initially. Mm-hmm. Click.
Uh-huh.
And I'm using a 204 on an AR platform.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, damn it. And I pull it back, try and chamber it in again. Another click. And it's like,
oh, wow.
So I set it up. I jammed it in there, anticipating spooking the birds. Well, their heads were up, but they weren't bolting. There was probably 30 of them or so. I took the one. He shot him from the front. He flipped up, landed. Then he was walking around dazed. So I tapped him in the back, and he was over. That was about 100 yards.
Yeah.
And then I take a second one at about 170 yards.
Wow.
Now, this 204, you're able to half-inch MOA at 100 yards.
But know your weapon.
That is the key.
Know what you can do.
Right.
Yeah.
Be confident in what it can do, and, no substitute for preparation.
Absolutely. Again, our lines are open. If we're talking turkey, if you got a question about something else, we will take your call and try to help you. But if you have some questions maybe about your hunting experience, you want to know some things about calling, Donnell Johnson is in studio. Lisa Thompson is going to be joining us. They are Hunt Data. Huntdata.com.
And
great
Scott, we
maps.
Will give out a free turkey map for our second caller.
The second caller, 303-477-5600. You'll get the Hunt Data turkey map. But you got to be the caller number 2, 303-477-5600. You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
If you have just been in an accident, there is a lot going on. With the screeching tires, crunching metal, and breaking glass, it's hard to remember what to do. That's why Kevin Flesh of Fleshlaw wants you to remember to panic. No, he doesn't mean run around screaming or start hyperventilating. He means use the acronym PANIC to remember what to do. P is for police. Call the police immediately. It's very important to have an official record of what happened. A is assess, as in assess all of your injuries and seek medical care if necessary. N is for never admit fault. It's your job to take care of yourself, not to determine who is at fault. I is for insurance. Take pictures of the other person's insurance and ID info and get pictures of the accident if you can. And finally, C is for call Kevin Flesh. Kevin Flesh is more than just a name used to intimidate the insurance companies. He will help you. If you've been injured in an accident, call Flesh Law at 303-806-8886 for a free consultation, and he'll help you get the compensation that you deserve.
At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. And because we know that your pet will have many different needs throughout its life, we offer complete pet care services every day, all at one location. Whether your furry friend needs a checkup, advanced medical care, surgery, boarding, grooming, obedience training, food, care products, or toys, we are here for your pet 7 days a week. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we know that you want the very best for your pet, which is why you can count on us to provide top-notch care in everything we do. We are certified with the highest rankings by the American Animal Hospital Association and hold a gold star rating with the Better Business Bureau. You and your pet can visit us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. Learn more about us by visiting our website at lonetreevet.com or just give us a call at 303-708-8050.
Tired of walking into gun stores and seeing the same guns everywhere you go? Check out our sponsor, Old Steel Historical Firearms. Hi, this is Scott Watley of Sportsman of Colorado. At Old Steel, they specialize in the purchase and sale of historical firearms. Need to get your firearm collection appraised? They can help. Buy, sell, trade, and consignments are welcome at Old Steel. Open 10 to 6, Monday through Saturday. Old Steel Historical Firearms is located at 12 East Girard Avenue in Englewood. That's just 2 blocks north of Hamden off Broadway. Now you can own a piece of history at Old Steel Historical Firearms. Call 720-662-7252. That's 720-662-7252. Check out their website, oldsteelguns.com.
Hi, Dan Johnson, General Manager at Len Lyle Chevrolet. You know, I hear it all the time. If you give me a good enough deal, I'll buy your vehicle. So here it is. A 2017 Crew Cab 4x4 loaded for up to $11,000 off MSRP. Or how about a 2017 Chevy Cruze? Sign and drive a lease for only $199 a month. Heck, that's cheaper than a used car. And we'll pay top dollar for your trade-in. So go east and pay the lease. Len Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at lenlylechevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. I have Donnell Johnson in studio. We're going to be joined with Lisa Thompson here just momentarily. Another good friend, JP's in studio with us, and Mike is a brother. We are looking forward tonight to our American Heroes in Action Banquet. Now, wish we could still get you in tonight. We can't, but that'll be going on tonight. And we got a busy banquet scheduled. Then next Thursday, we will be emceeing the Highlands Ranch Ducks Unlimited banquet. And then Saturday, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation for the Pikes Peak chapter there. So looking forward to all that. And great to be involved with all these great, great groups. Real quick, get equipped with the sun. Get a PSL, personal solar light. The PSL offers you hours of bright, beautiful light, extreme durability, no hassle solar recharging, patented light control, and waterproof construction. Just go to personalsolarlight.com. If you'll put the promo code in there, Scott, it'll save you some money and they'll ship it to you for free. So again, that's personalsolarlight.com. Promo code is Scott, and it'll save you a few bucks on the light itself, and they'll ship it to you at no charge. Talking turkey today, and again, we will take your calls, 303-477-5600, if you've got any questions or want to tell us about your story. But let's go ahead and hook up with Lisa Thompson. How are you, Lisa?
Hi, Scott. How are you? I'm great. I'm here in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
All right, good deal. Well, looking out our window, I think we're in Minnesota. Yeah, it is snowing quite a bit here.
It actually is beautiful here.
Oh, is it?
Go figure.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
It is.
So, Lisa, Donnell's talked a little bit about you guys' experience there hunting with Wayne Carlton. So, tell us a little bit about your side of that.
Oh, wow. What a once in a lifetime bucket list to go hunting with Wayne Carlton. Just a the hunting legend that he is, not only of calling turkeys, but obviously he's a great elk hunter too. And it was just a privilege to be able to hang out with him and his wife, Linda, and just go in the mountains with him and chase the wild Merriam. It was fantastic. And I learned so much from Wayne and how he hunts turkey and his philosophy behind it. And I don't know if Donnell shared some of that with you, but he is just studying under him was great. And I just look forward to many more hunts with him.
What would you say, if you guys look about what you've been doing over the last several years of hunting, that now you say, well, we're not going to do that anymore, we're going to do it this way? What are a couple of things that come to mind?
Well, I think the one thing that comes to mind for me is when we walked the ridge tops, and we would stop every about 100 yards or 7,500 yards, and Wayne would call. He used his box call mostly to try to locate a gobbler. And if we didn't hear anything, we'd keep walking. I think the first day on my Fitbit, we went like 10 and a half miles. And so Wayne's, you know, he's 73 years old, and that guy can cruise. I mean, Donnell and I were, we were trying to keep up with Wayne. And so the thing that he would do is he'd call about every 100 yards to try to locate a gobbler. And even though we walked in, when we came back out, he would call again. And it's crazy. I traditionally don't walk in the same way I walk out, because I'm like, well, there was nothing there. And Wayne always kind of comes out the same way he walked in. And sure enough, it never failed that there was a gobbler. Mm-hmm. Either might have heard us coming in or something, but coming out, when we would call again, we would hear a gobble. And so that was a really valuable lesson to me. Just, you know, kind of follow your tracks back out, and maybe you stirred something up or something, but chances are you'll hear him. And Wayne always said we'd get in there and hear nothing. And he goes, wait, when we walk back out, there's going to be a gobbler. And sure enough, I bet you, I mean, he was 100% accurate. So yeah, that's exactly what we were hearing. After Donnell got her tom, we called another couple toms in, and I mean, they were just hot. It was so fun. I can't even tell you, Scott.
What Christmas day.
Yeah, no kidding. So what would be your practice? Let's take the morning hunt. You would get out about what time before sunlight, before sunrise?
We got there right at sunrise.
Because we were snowcatting in, that took a lot longer. So okay. We were kind of driving during sunup.
Right. And then you would get to an area, would you just go ahead and hit a little bit of a call just to see where you could locate them?
When we parked the snowcat. Go ahead, Lise. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, right. When he parked the snowcat, we'd walk up 50 yards and he'd do out a call. And, again, we weren't trying to get them off the roost as much and trying to be set up at dark 30. We were hunting more that they're off the roost. They're kind of looking. They're looking for hens. They're looking for food. And so Wayne, a lot of times Donnell and I will try to get somewhere. We've always tried to get there at dark, really dark 30 and try to find the roost and call them off the roost. We already assume they're off the roost walking around.
Right. So now when you would locate them, let's say they were fairly close to you, would you just stop and set up right there, or do y'all try to get...
Wayne always looked around and trying to have a place where we can kind of get above them and call them in. But basically looking for a place that could kind of strut, so, and plus we could have a nice clean shot, you know. So he would kind of look around and find something as quick as we could.
Now, how far do you guys...
He's an aggressive hunter.
Is he? Yeah. Now, how far would you guys be all three just right together, or would he be back behind you some, or how would you set up your caller versus the shooters?
Lisa, tell him how you were on yours, and then I'll tell him how he was on mine.
On mine, we walked in this, we walked a log and rode in and called kind of on the ridgetop, and coming out that gobbler, going in, we didn't hear him, coming out, we heard him, because we were going to go and make another plan and go to another area. And sure enough, we hear this gobbler. We assumed, we all kind of thought he was a long ways away. We're thinking he probably came in to a half mile maybe. And we set up, Wayne and I set up on this tree where Wayne thought I should sit. And then Donnell was a little ways. Donnell, were you 20 yards behind us maybe?
Yeah, I was about 20 behind him, and I was videoing.
Okay.
Yeah, and so Wayne and I were set up, and he was gobbling. And then sure enough, that gobbler just shut up. We never heard from him again. And honestly, Wayne and I didn't talk, but we both were thinking, we talked about it later, that we both were going to look at each other like, I think we lost him, like he's not here. And although we teach classes, patience, 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 we were about ready to get up because we had waited probably 20 minutes and he wasn't there. And sure enough, I don't know, about the time we thought about leaving, I don't know if Wayne called again or I can't remember, but he gobbled and he had gotten on that.
He got on that slate call. That's when he did that glass call, and that's when he...
Oh, the glass call. And he gobbled and he got onto the logging road we were on, and he was walking up the logging road. But he had come such a long ways. And Wayne says traditionally when they're walking, they don't gobble. I mean, it's when they stop, they hear you and they gobble, because it's kind of like walking and chewing gum. It's hard for them. Yeah. So he probably was just trying to get to us coming through downfall and stuff, because we're hunting them in the mountains, and it's like elk country. Mm-hmm. And they're going around logs and deadfall and all that. And he came up on the corner. Donnell was trying to film my hunt, but because she was far enough back and the angle and stuff,
I didn't
that
get the
Tom
angle.
Came up the road, and then he stopped.
I thought about stepping
he
up
looked like
really
he was
big and getting some good footage.
So
get that
now,
right angle.
Did you guys ever have the occasion where they may hang up, you know, 75 yards away, you really couldn't see them, but you knew they were there? Did you continue
to it actually
sit?
Happened on the first bird that came in on me. We were all three pretty much side by, well, Gawain and I were side by side, but Lisa was right behind me.
Okay.
And I think it was just too much the way he came in, because I didn't even have a visual on the bird, and I heard him twit. And I had to try to lean in and get a terrible shot, and I didn't get him. But truly, I don't think we were set up ideally, because
right.
We set up so quick. That's the problem when that happens. Sometimes when you set up quick, you think they're going to do something, and they did something completely different. Right. We had one, he came in completely out. We did, thinking he would do the road just like he did with Lisa, and he cut way down below us, and it was just not a clean, easy shot. But
now, did you guys ever have the deal where you say, okay, they're not going to come in, let's just go toward them and then see if you can rush them a little bit and get up on them? Or
I've done that before. I didn't do it with Wayne, and yeah. I've got birds that way. It's like,
well, I'm
shooting
telling you,
geese.
My buddy shot two, and actually, he shot two flying.
Yeah, I've shot both of them. Yeah. My really nice Eastern that I shot with my son-in-law, I belly crawled a whole mile or half mile section. He had seen a bird way at the other end, and I after I crawled that whole thing, I couldn't see anything. So I thought, you know what? I just that last little ridge, I just stood up and ran straight at the trees, and he flew to my left, and I got him. Wow. That's in my wheelhouse. I'm left, I don't. So.
Right.
Never fly left on me.
So now from Kansas to Colorado, the different places you've hunted turkey, I mean, do you find in different areas they will act different, or versus mountains versus flatland? I mean, do you find, or are they pretty much,
you know,
same type of
animals? I don't know if Wayne's going to be able to call in, but he does think, like the Osceolas, is he on the call? I think that's a great Wayne question, because he's even hunted the Osceolas, and there's different ones. Like, definitely the Merriams, I think, are more responsive to the calls, but I'd let him answer that.
All right. Tell you what. Wayne, hang on with us 1 second, if you would, sir. Glad to have you on the show with us, by the way. How are you?
I am great. How are you, folks?
Well, we are doing great. Now, I've got Donnell Johnson in studio with me. Lisa's on the other line, but we are up against the clock, and we got to take a short break here. So hang with us. Wayne Carlton will be next on Sportsman of Colorado.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
What if it was possible to train your body how to burn excess fat through natural homeopathic means? Dr. Julie Marchial uses a time-tested protocol to unlock unnecessary fat stores in your body, converting fat into energy so you can experience permanent weight loss. Because this remarkable method targets only your bad fat, leaving vital stores of necessary fat untouched, your body will begin to experience balance in a new and healthier way. As Dr. Julie leads you through her unique weight loss program, your brain will gradually relearn what it means to feel full and to feel hungry. You will find many of your old cravings simply disappear. Call Dr. Julie at Ascent Health Center today to find out how KLZ hosts John Rush, Scott Watley, and Dan Muir put their bodies to work for them with unbelievable results. Call 303-343-8800. That's 303-343-8800. Or go to AscentHealthCenter.com.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store. Family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 67 in Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Well, we did it now. Hi, Dan Johnson from Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. And we received a special allocation of over 600 new Chevrolets, and we're out of room. So to relieve our problem, check these deals out. A 2017 Silverado Crew Cab 4x4 for up to $11,000 off MSRP. Or lease a 2017 Chevy Cruze for only $199 a month, sign and drive. Or a 2017 Chevrolet Equinox for up to $6,000 off MSRP. Go east and pay the lease. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at lynnlylechevrolet.com. Chevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
No boring sports talk here. Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. Glad to have Donnell Johnson in studio with us. Hunt Data. Be sure and check out their website, huntdata.com. Tell you what, all of this is fun till you get lost. Don't get lost. Know where the elk are. Know where the turkeys are with huntdata.com. We've got Lisa Thompson on the phone with us as well. Lisa's in Minnesota. And then a thrill that once again, and Mr. Carlton has been on with us once before, but Wayne Carlton. So thanks for joining us. So you made it through hunting with these two ladies, Wayne. That's a good thing.
It wasn't hard to get through. They were really great.
No, they are. I'm just jealous of them. I mean, no matter what I kill, they get something bigger and better every time. So I don't even like looking at their pictures anymore. They're good hunters for sure.
Wayne, how
you
doing?
Those cameras really make animals look a lot bigger. I've seen animals gain 20 and 30 pounds in one picture.
Yes, sir. I know what you mean.
I'm a professional photographer, Wayne. You know that.
That's it.
So, Wayne, take a minute and just tell us, really, I mean, needless to say, your name is synonymous with elk calls and turkey calls and chokes, all the things. But tell us how you got into all this.
I got an Uncle Harvey Beckham, who is now deceased. I grew up in Florida, and he was a Daniel Boone of Florida. And on the weekends, whenever we could, we'd go swamp wading, and he taught me how to call different animals, turkeys, owls, crows, alligators, even deer. And I moved out west when I was 32. That was in 1976. And I applied all that technique and knowledge and learned how to call elk with a turkey call. And lo and dang behold, we called a bunch of them in, and everybody got excited. So here I sit.
Wow. Well, that's cool. And then Donnell has your box call here in studio with us. And, wow, she was going over some of the sounds with that. And, boy, beautiful call, first of all, but man, great sounds from it.
So, Wayne, what wood is this? They asked me, and you told me, and I don't remember.
Well, I think the box that you have maybe is cedar.
Okay.
Cedar.
There's a lighter wood in there. We call it the rails that makes it a little bit higher pitch. It depends on the call itself, but I think the one I gave you was the cedar call.
So, Wayne, walk us through some of the call and what, you know, how you go about, depending on how the birds are reacting, and just how you go through your steps of process of just thinking about, you know, your calling, whether it be in the morning or evening hunts.
Oh, that's a loaded question, but it's a good one. Early in the morning, we're all wanting that gobbler to fly down in our lap and just, you know, watch him fly out of the tree and come over and start strutting and then have a chance to take him. But usually, I say about 99% of the time, that does not happen.
Yes, sir.
So you got to say, okay, where'd they go? And with Osceola, not Osceola, but Rios, you really got to know where they go, because then babies take off and they not come back until dark with the flashlight. So it pays to understand what you're hunting. But I try to make sounds, first of all, locate the turkey maybe now. Anything crazy like that, they'll gobble to it. And once they gobble, then I'll try to set up a couple 300 yards and put them on the vegetation. But I don't try to overpower it. I let the turkeys wake up. It's kind of like us when we first get to go holler and scream. Well, then Donnell does. He hollers and screams quite a bit. And then Lisa's right behind her squealing.
Yes. Absolutely.
So at any rate, I try to get the turkeys wake up, and then I test this. Want to hear? It may be a slate, maybe a box, maybe a diaphragm. And I don't try to push things down their throats. So I want to hear what a turkey wants to hear. And this year with the ladies when we were hunting, it was a lot of the box call, but on a close end it was a slate call. And the box is a sharp loud thing, and it's got that high pitch right there at the beginning. If a call rattles your ear, if it's irritating, probably really good for calling animals.
Right. Wayne Carlton is our guest. If you've got any questions, we're going to keep him on for a segment here, 303-477-5600. And check out his website,
nativebycarlton.com.
A lot of great information there. And again, as you're doing your shopping around for chokes and turkey calls, elk calls, be sure and check these out. Great, great products, and a lot of great success stories by using them as well. Now, Wayne, I asked Donnell this right before our break here, before you came on. So do you ever suggest, and we tried this a couple of times, we were just in Montana this last week, and my buddy actually killed two birds by doing this, but don't know the high percentage of this, but we just couldn't get them to come in for a while, so finally they just got up and kind of went toward them, got them on the ground a little bit, and they were just kind of, I mean, there were no other hunters where we were. We were on public land, but we were way up in Plains, Montana. And so it took them a minute to figure out, and then when they busted up, he was able to, you know, kill two birds on two different occasions doing it that way. Do you mostly like for the birds come to you, or have you had that sometimes where you felt like, hey, if I'm going to get one, I need to go try to get him?
Well, what you say is true. And false art, years ago when I was a young guy learning how to hunt turkey, in the fall, when we hunt in the fall, that was exactly what we would do. We would bust up flocks of turkeys. Some people would do it with dogs. Some people did it by chasing them. I did it by hollering and screaming like an Indian and trying to make good.
Right.
But what you say there is true in that. Turkeys don't want to work. I can tell you one thing, most of them don't want to be by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you make a gobbler by himself, he says, I'll change my mind. I think I like what you're saying. But break them up. Now, another time to break them up is not just during the day, but we tried this in Texas numerous times. It works every time. Is let them go to the roost. And once the turkey gets settled on the roost, you spend a little bit of daylight there. Let the daylight just start really getting dim. And then you want to bust that roost up, and they'll come flying out of there. There's enough light that they get out of the trees. But what you do there is you put a bomb in their roost, and you pull them out, and every gobbler is going to want to know where every hen is the next morning, and they will come to you almost before daylight.
Sure. Now, if you know where they go to roost, what's your yardage that usually you'll try to, you know, be back away from that roost?
I'll try to pinpoint I'm thinking of two places, Colorado and Texas. If you are 100 yards offline from that turkey that's gobbling, or you think that roost tree is, he usually will not come to see you before he goes to the roost. But if you are in line with him, he will come. So I'll try to, it depends on the terrain, but I'll try to set up no more than 200-300 yards from where I think the roost may be.
Okay.
If I hear the turkey goblin, I will actually try to move between him and the roost.
Okay.
Good technique, though. Good stuff you're bringing up.
So, Wayne, one of the questions, too, is would you use the same techniques on the different breeds, like a Rio versus Merriam versus Osceola?
Yeah, I sure would.
You would? Now, one of the things I think you said, like hunting in Florida is way harder than, like, the Merriams. They're less responsive or just smarter? They've been educated or what?
I think the hardest turkey to hunt is probably the eastern turkey. They just have a knack for knowing that we're dummies trying to sound like turkeys. And they would make you get on the airplane and slough all the way back to Montrose, Colorado.
I'm hunting easterns in 2 days. Yeah. Can you go with me?
Easterns, I mean, they will whip you. You know what? They'll whip you. So, for whatever reason, eastern turkeys seem to gobble a lot better. They're a lot of fun to hunt. You get to hear stuff, but it's not uncommon to go down to Edgefield, South Carolina, or go into Florida and might hear turkey gobble for a week. So for us to be able to enjoy what you and I and Lisa enjoyed up here in the mountains here the other day, that is an exceptional situation. It's all need to be before, but it was wonderful.
It was. It was absolutely fun. It was just so fun to watch you call them in. You made it look simple. You did.
I've been doing it like 50 years. So.
Lisa, do you have anything to add to that?
To 50 years?
No. The only thing I have to add to that is I am just so grateful, Wayne, that you took the time to take Donnell and I out. And, again, we learned so much, and it was just such a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I think we all had a great time, and you ladies made the house pretty loud, if I can say that. But just really good stuff. And let me say, a lot of people out there just thinking of turkey hunting. I can't think of a better sport. First time in the Rockies, vegetation's just starting to leak out. So I got them spring storms come and go. Ask the ladies there, we drove a long ways on snow to get turkey.
Right.
And it was just, it's super nice. It's just, I mean, it's hard, it's, not, it's noisy, it's dirty. When you see, there, I got to say this, folks, if you listen, there is one great big turkey running around somewhere in the state of Colorado, and I ain't going to tell you because I want to go get him, but he's bigger than I've ever seen. I don't know if Danette wants to say anything about that or not.
You know, it's, the things that happen in the mountains stays in the mountains. I think that's how that saying goes.
Well, Wayne,
more Tommy. That was a big turkey, I got to tell you.
Yeah, Wayne, my favorite thing is when we were driving up No Tell 'Em Creek is when you said, I had my maps, my little hunt data maps on, my turkey maps with the show of spring range and winter range, and you were saying, well, the birds winter over here in this drainage, and sure enough, we had some blue concentration highlighted there, and we drove a little further, and you told me where their spring range was, and we had that as well. So that's really a great tool for somebody who's brand new going to the mountains. If they have no idea where to start, those are radio collars that they put on those animals, and so it shows where they are. And so for Wayne to be narrating and for me to be watching my maps that we electronically made, but we trust, right? But I didn't make them. It's the information we have from Parks and Wildlife. But for him to be narrating, you know, and telling me about the area and our maps to even show that was pretty amazing to me. I was impressed.
Absolutely. But.
Well, the information that you have on your maps is – so I got a neighbor here who wanted me to take him hunting. I said, go find some yourself instead of asking me to do it. But something like you have there would really help even a beginner or somebody that's new to the area that say they want to hunt. Well, they can look at your maps even on the phone, their own phone. They can look at the map and say, well, this shows this and this shows that. But generally, that's like that spring ranges. Where they're at this time of year.
And that was a good question that I had when you said this is a winter range, and I said, would I be in winter range? And you said, no, spring. And so they have already started to move up into those spring ranges. So that's important to know as well.
I can't tell you how many times I've been astounded by the turkeys, but I've seen them go over 20-foot snow drifts to come to a call.
Well, and even the one you called in for me, it was snowing when he did come in, and we had some small, you know, snow drifts up there.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, that was about a 2-foot snow drift that turkey came up, but they had no hesitation. And what happens, folks, is it freezes up there every night. We're down here where it's a little bit warmer, but up there it's frozen. And I started tracking turkeys just with their toenails, not their entire foot, but just with their nails dug into a snowbank. I was able to pick that up, but... they love getting up there. They can't wait. They get there before it's really open. And the hens are up there. That's where they're going to have their nest. That's where the breeding's done. And the only ones here, so everybody wants to get there as soon as they can.
Right. Well, Wayne, thank you very much. Now, if you ever get tired of hunting with two ladies, let me know. I got a couple of buddies. We'd love to hunt with you, okay? I'm trying to get them to invite me sometime. I've known them for like 5 years. They never take me. They never take me.
Have you tagged out in Colorado yet?
No, because I was busy.
Well,
there,
then
I still
not
got my
too
tag
late,
here.
Scott.
All right,
it's
we'll try to get together.
Okay.
But Wayne, thank you so much, and hopefully next time you're around here in the Denver area, we can get you in studio with us for a show. That'd be great. We'd appreciate it.
I'll I got one thing to say to y'all.
Yes, sir.
Buddies, who needs buddies when you got Lisa and Donnell?
No, they're the best, man. They're a great asset for us on our show and great friends personally as well. So two great women right there for sure.
Thank you.
We got to take a short break. This segment was brought to you by Lone Tree Vet, LoneTreeVet.com. Tell you, if you're looking for the best of the best as far as pet care, this is it. They've been taking care of our pets for now about 12, 13 years. Love them there at Lone Tree Vet, 303-708-8050. They're open 7 days a week, a nice 16,000-square-foot facility if you need to board your pet. Of course, all the veterinary needs, training, they do it all. Check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you are lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser rifles, Sitka gear, and Night Force optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience, so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and you receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
If you have just been in an accident, there is a lot going on. With the screeching tires, crunching metal, and breaking glass, it's hard to remember what to do. That's why Kevin Flesh of Fleshlaw wants you to remember to panic. No, he doesn't mean run around screaming or start hyperventilating. He means use the acronym PANIC to remember what to do. P is for police. Call the police immediately. It's very important to have an official record of what happened. A is assess, as in assess all of your injuries and seek medical care if necessary. N is for never admit fault. It's your job to take care of yourself, not to determine who is at fault. I is for insurance. Take pictures of the other person's insurance and ID info and get pictures of the accident if you can. And finally, C is for call Kevin Flesh. Kevin Flesh is more than just a name used to intimidate the insurance companies. He will help you. If you've been injured in an accident, call Flesh Law at 303-806-8886 for a free consultation, and he'll help you get the compensation that you deserve.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I like about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. For over 48 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. So at Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention, unlike anything you'd see at a corporate-owned store. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab so they can put new lenses into your current frames. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. With well over 50 years of combined experience, Stack Optical will get to the bottom of your unique vision needs. Stack Optical in Cherry Creek, near Colorado and Cherry Creek North. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578, or visit them online at stackoptical.com. I'm confident that when you meet the family at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. Call them today for that $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Hi, Dan Johnson with Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. And right now we're selling all 2017 Chevrolets at employee supplier pricing, plus all the rebates, for a total of up to $11,000 off on some vehicles. And we need your trade-ins, and we'll pay the highest prices anywhere, whether you owe money on it or not. Give us a chance. You won't be sorry. I guarantee you that nobody can sell you a Chevrolet for less than Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the lease. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LynnLyleChevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. Got Donnell Johnson in studio. Just had a great conversation with Wayne Carlton. Again, check out his website, which is nativebycarlton.com. Lisa Thompson's on the line with us as well. We've got a few more minutes left. We got a caller, Marin. Marin, you're on Sportsman of Colorado. How are you?
Well, I'm a little weary. I had my knee replaced in October, and I had to throw a lot of snow today. I'm down here in the cusp of Larkspur and Sedalia. I've got horse property, no horses because the prairie dogs did me dirty. Had to move them all out of here. I could go on and on about that.
Do you need some help with those prairie dogs?
Well, my love, I have to say, I'm a good shot, and I don't hunt. I do not hunt. I've never had time, and I'm an animal lover, but I used to cry because I'm a good shot. And if it wasn't a clean shot, you know.
I'll cry when I shoot them for you, if you'll let me shoot.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the trick. I've done the poison, and I took care of one field, and people transplant them. And we have a private easement, and they think it's just a wonderful thing. Are you kidding me? I could go on and on about that. But my 17 HMR Marlin with the Remington scope loves the Winchester 17 grain with the polymer tip.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
Yeah, a clean gun is more accurate. And I would like to find a boar snake that's more user-friendly for that. And I have a turkey story for you.
Okay, got about 2.5 minutes, so.
Oh, Lord. Okay, all right. Oh, I might have to call back on the turkey story. It's pretty cool because I've never seen one on my property and at all, and I've been here 27 years. But wow. I was cleaning the hot tub, and this little gal that was riding horses with me, she said, oh, my God, look, there was two coyotes. They were on the prowl in between pens, and they were after the, I'm assuming it's a tom, and they were down low, and I whistled real loud, and that turkey turned around and fanned up just like on Thanksgiving table, you know, with the white right. feathered tails, and it charged those two coyotes. I mean, that's all I guess they can do. I just thought that was so interesting because
yeah.
I haven't seen one since. And last night when I was shoveling. Well, he charged. I'm all over the board. I'm trying to rush here. But my two stallions, and they know their territory in the pen, they actually finished the coyotes off. They ran them out of the field. They did an about face. I thought that was really interesting.
It sure is.
Yeah. And last night I was shoveling my west deck because I have to do it in intervals, and I swear I heard geese. Not bugling, but... I know the geese noise. I was like, is that for real at night? That doesn't even sound right, but there's nothing else around me. Could it have been?
Huh. It's possible. It's what you call
it. I know what they sound like. I love them.
Right.
I have a lot of interesting stories, and I know you're on the run, and I want to call y'all back.
Will you call me next Saturday?
And what I'll do, I never have time, and I just don't.
All right. Well, I got to go. I got your number. I'm going to call you after the show, and I'm going to visit with you a minute. How's
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Do that, my friend.
All right. That's Marin there. Okay. Great. JP, give a plug for your business.
RR Roofing and Renovations.
Okay.
They're a family-owned outfit. I have myself and my two brothers, and we're not a huge company, but I'm on every roof I do, and... you know, we may sell roofs, but above all, we sell service.
Okay. Website and phone number?
Just rrrenovations@yahoo.com.
Okay.
720-291-7225.
All right. Great, man. Thanks for sitting in. We didn't get a chance to get to his story on a helicopter hog hunt, so we'll have to get you back in to do that.
Very good.
He just completed that. Again, we're looking forward to our banquet tonight with American Heroes in Action. And then check out our website.
sportsmancolorado.com. Now, we got till the 21st of May
for spring turkey here in
Colorado. We'll get
Colorado.
You out there, Scott.
All right, give me out.
Get you a bird.
Come on, here we go. All right, good deal. Huntdata.com.
Free shipping on any products, 560 AM. If they put that in the code, 560 AM, anything they buy on the website, they get free shipping.
560 AM for the promo code there. Again, PSL, Personal Solar Light. If you'll put the promo code Scott there, you'll save a few dollars on the light itself, and they'll ship that for free as well.
Get out in the field.
They have get out and hunt. Get your kids out. It's a blast. And
there's a lot of turkey this year.
There is.
I've seen more turkey than I ever have here.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Well, folks, this has been fun. Lisa? Sorry you had to be on hold all the time. Boy, an hour went quick here. But when you guys get back, I'll get you and Donnell in studio again, and we'll do this again and hit a lot more and then be talking big game here before we know it.
Yes, that will be fun. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Donnell. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
JP, Mike, thank you guys for being in. And thank you for joining us on Sportsman of Colorado. Again, if you're listening on Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., that is our replay of our live show here on Saturdays. So we are not in where you can call us. But again, check us out at sportsmanofcolorado.com. Hope everyone has a great, safe weekend. Again, be safe. Don't shovel too much and get hurt out there. Just be careful. Thanks for joining us here on Sportsman of Colorado.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.